The reading is Psalm 13, which is found on page 548 in our Bibles here. Psalm 13. For the director of music, a psalm of David. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. This is the word of the Lord.
Today we're beginning a series on prayer from the book of Psalms. And actually, given the situation of the kind of Phillips family, I thought it was appropriate that we begin looking at this just very short psalm, Psalm 13. So let's pray now, and let's ask God to work in our hearts and minds. Our gracious God and Father, we come before your word, and we do ask that you will show us wonderful things in it to strengthen our trust in you and in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The cry, how long, is often heard from the lips of young children, particularly on long car journeys. How long until we get there? But it isn't just young children who cry out in desperation, how long? We all do it. All of us will at some point go through a period of prolonged hardship, which causes us to cry out, even if it's just to ourselves, How long? How long must I endure this? The longing for suffering to come to an end is a common experience. And it was certainly King David's experience. Four times he cries out to God, how long? And wonderfully, God in his providence has caused this psalm to be preserved for us. In fact, about a third of the psalms in the Bible are psalms, what are called psalms of lament. There are psalms expressing kind of this anguish, this pain. They are a significant part of Scripture, and this in itself is an encouragement for those who are currently struggling in life. God, in his kindness and providence, has given us the very words to cry out to him when we are going through the mill. What is more, many of the Psalms of lament, like Psalm 13, are Psalms of David. And David is God's anointed king. He's the Messiah. And as such, he points ahead to his greater descendant, the true Messiah, the Lord Jesus. So as we look at this psalm together, we are to imagine not only King David, but also our Lord Jesus Christ crying out to God during his earthly ministry amongst us. Now we're going to look at this psalm under three headings. They're written down on your service sheets. They'll come up on the screen. And the first one is, cry out to God in your anguish. When we are suffering, when we are kind of going through the mill, when that sort of prolonged kind of tough time, first and foremost, we are to cry out, not to our spouse or partner or to a parent or a church leader, although we can do that with all those, of course, but first and foremost, to the Lord our God. And this is what we see David doing. And from the opening two verses, we see there are three things that were causing David such anguish. And actually, the first is his relationship with God. You see it there in verse 1. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? God didn't appear to be interested in David. He was ignoring him. He was hiding his face from David. And I love the honesty that David has before God. He feels that God is ignoring him, and he tells God about it. I mean, he's transparent. He says it as it is, as he feels it is. God doesn't want us to put on, we need to put on airs and graces before him. He wants us to express the reality which is in our hearts. If we are confused, even disappointed with God, God wants us, as we see here in the psalm, actually encourages us in our personal times of prayer to express that. But not only is David in anguish over God's apparent disinterest in him, he's in anguish over himself. Look at the first part of verse 2. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And day after day have sorrow in my heart. Regularly as a pastor, I would come across people in such emotional turmoil and despair. Some, often they would voice it, it's so great that they would want to end their life. And these lines sum up that experience perfectly. This constant battle with harmful negative thoughts. Waking up in the morning and having kind of deep sorrow in the heart. Seems that David here was going through a time of severe mental anguish and depression. And it seems from the final line of verse 2 that the root cause of David's pain and anguish was this enemy. We don't know who it was. It might have been King Saul or his own rebel son Absalom. When evil prospers and wicked people seem to be securely in control, if you are suddenly struck down with a life-threatening illness, it is hard to think that God cares. It can be hard to feel that God cares and is interested in you. This was David's experience as a faithful, godly believer. Sometimes we can give the impression that being a faithful believer involves us being constantly kind of positive and upbeat. But actually, these Psalms of Lament show that is rubbish. Life is often very hard, and we can find ourselves in desperately sad situations which literally floor us. Sometimes we can get so low we can't even get out of bed. King David, God's anointed one, a man of faith, felt distant from God and suffered, in this instance, from kind of what people say today, poor mental health. And this mental anguish and pain was also our Lord Jesus Christ's experience. We only have to listen to him wrestling in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus cried out, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Or to hear him cry out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Friends, it's not a sign of unbelief and lack of faith to take our confusion and pains and complaints to God in prayer. In fact, it's the opposite. This psalm and the other psalms like it teach us that we should direct our pain and our confusion and our anguish to our Heavenly Father. But not only are we to cry out to God in our anguish, we're also to cry out to God for relief. And we see David doing that in verse 3. Look on me and answer me, Lord my God, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. David cries out to God using God's covenantal name, Yahweh. That is the personal name by which God revealed himself to Moses and Israelites at the time of Exodus, and is always translated in our Bibles as Lord in capital letters. God committed himself to the Israelites. They would be his people, and he would be their God, and he would provide for them. But David knows that Yahweh is not just the God of Israel. He is his God. Look how David cries out. David cries out, look on me and answer, Lord, my God. David had a personal relationship of love with God. And every Christian believer today has an even more secure and personal relationship with God through Jesus. And so, like David, we can actually approach God boldly and confidently. And then comes the specific request, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. What does that request, give light to my eyes, mean? I think first and foremost, it's a plea for relief from the turmoil he's already expressed in the first two verses. David wants to be remembered by God. He wants to have God's face shine upon him in blessing rather than hidden from him. He wants to be rid of his mental and emotional turmoil. He wants God's peace to rule in his heart. He doesn't want his enemy, whether it be Saul or Absalom, or actually death itself, to triumph over him. No, he wants life as life is meant to be lived in fellowship with God. It's not wrong to want our suffering to stop. It's not wrong to long for relief from cancer or some other debilitating or life-threatening illness. And God wants us to cry out to him and to ask for relief. He doesn't want us to be mealy-mouthed. He wants his people to seek his face and to acknowledge that he can and is able to bring relief to their suffering. But that expression, give light to my eyes, could also be a specific request for understanding. David could be praying for God to give him a divine perspective on what he's going through. Certainly, this is what sustained our Lord Jesus Christ and folk like the apostles Paul and Peter when they were going through the mill. Hebrews 12 reminds us that it was because of the joy that Jesus knew would be his after his death and resurrection that he endured the cross and scorned its shame. Likewise, the Apostle Paul could write in Romans 8, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. But when you are in agony, when you are depressed and feeling low, it's hard to maintain that sort of eternal perspective. And God knows that. He understands. And so he's caused David's heartfelt request to be preserved for us. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And as David pours out his heart to God, there is a change in his mood. The final two verses of the psalm actually are in stark contrast to the opening two. But I will trust, verse 5, but I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Now, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes we can be so cast down and in such a deep depression that we have no change of mood when we cry out to God. And the Bible recognizes that. There's another psalm. Don't bother to look at it now. Psalm 88. Actually, kind of remains pretty bleak throughout. But the faith of that psalm is expressed is that the psalmist is crying out to God. It's a psalm of faith. God has given us the words to utter to him, even when we're in the deepest of depressions and can see no way out. But often when we do begin to pray and cry out to God openly and honestly from the heart, the Holy Spirit, who lives in all of God's people, begins to remind us of what God is like. This is why praying is so important. And our prayer life is important. Because we are expressing our faith. And as we express our faith and commune and relate to our God, our Heavenly Father, actually, the Holy Spirit so often reminds us what he is like. So cry out to God in your anguish. Cry out to God for relief. And then finally, cry out to God, expressing your trust in him. And as David cries out to God in prayer, so he remembers who God is and what God has done for him and for Israel. See, David knew about the great salvation that God had brought about for Israel at the time of the Exodus. He knows how God and his faithfulness brought the Israelites into the promised land. But David also knows how God had saved him personally time and again in his life, whether it was from the bear or the lion when tending his father's sheep, or when he went out against Goliath. And as David remembers these past rescues and salvations, he rejoices in God. David's immediate circumstances have not changed. The pain and the anguish are still there. But amidst the pain, as David remembers the unfailing love of God, and how God has proved that unfailing love, not only in the history of Israel, but also in his kind of personal past experience, David is able to rejoice. And friends, if we have heard the good news about Jesus Christ, if we have grasped something of the depth of our sin and the extent of God's mercy, if we can perceive our Lord Jesus Christ suffering on the cross for us, bearing the penalty of our sin in our place, if we know how Christ has defeated the powers of death and sin and risen victorious from the grave for us, if we understand that God is able to keep hold of us and bring us to himself in the new creation, then however grim our situation is, we've got something to rejoice in. Which is why Paul can write to the Philippians as he, remember, languishes in prison, chained to Roman guards. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. And notice that David doesn't just recall in his mind what God has done for him. He expresses that trust in God in prayer. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. It's actually as we verbalize our trust and our express that trust out loud in words to God that our confidence in God grows and we can begin to experience some spiritual relief in the midst of our sufferings. So despite how grim things are for David, he can finish on this upbeat note, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." The Philip family are going through a very hard time. But it's not just them. And I don't know what's going on in your lives, but I imagine amongst here there are some of us who, for all sorts of reasons, whether it be through ill health or work pressures or really difficult relationships or financial worries, are, well, you're struggling. As Jesus promised disciples the night before he died, in this world you will have trouble. And you've got a heap of it. God has never promised us healing or a trouble-free existence. As Christians, we don't get, I describe it as the fast pass ticket in the queue. You know, everybody else is landing in the queue, waiting for the ride, but you can go whoop, right to the front. Until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, trouble, sickness, death, and that includes what we consider premature death, will always be a feature of our human existence. My sister died of cancer, aged 57. A first cousin of mine, who is 59, and has just become a grandmother, is currently in her last lap, dying from a brain tumor. We live in a fallen world that is under the judgment of God, as well as still experiencing the blessing of God. And when we find ourselves going through these incredibly tough situations, I think this psalm, it's lovely short, it's simple, it's been a very simple sermon to preach actually, it's quite straightforward in structure and everything, but it just points us in the way to go, doesn't it? We are to cry out to God in anguish, we are to cry out to God for relief, and we're to cry out to God expressing our trust in him. As the Apostle Paul knew, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. For whatever trial we go through, if we are trusting Jesus, God's eternal arms are underneath us, and he will bring us through the trials. So yes, Jesus did promise his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. But remember what he went on to say to them. But take heart, for I've overcome the world. But actually more than that, this psalm of David, Psalm 13, points us to Jesus himself. Jesus, God's anointed king, knew the anguish of separation from God. He knew the deep loneliness of a troubled soul. He knew what it was like to have enemies rejoicing in his misery. He knew what it was like to face death. And so knowing that the Lord Jesus has traveled this path before us, and knowing the wonder of the salvation that he has secured for us, for all of who trust in him, we fix our eyes on him and on the resurrection hope, and we praise God for his goodness to us. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to again praise you because you have been good to us. And we see your goodness above all in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he knows what it's like to travel this path of suffering and pain through this world. And thank you that through that suffering, which he didn't need to go through other than out of love for us and obedience to you, that he has secured for us a glorious future, that we have this confidence, utter confidence, that you are for us and that you are able to sustain us and bring us through to yourself. So we want to thank you and praise you for this in Christ's name. Amen.